Joshua chapter number 4. Went to the Vacation Bible School storage room this afternoon and found a bunch of rocks. So we're going to preach on some rocks tonight. Joshua chapter number 4. Verse number 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men. When he prepared the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall say, your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the presence that we've already felt here tonight, for the songs that were sung, for the love that's been bestowed to us, the goodness and the blessings, Father, that you've given us are numerous, and we thank you for that. God, and I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray you that you'll accomplish that which we can't do for ourselves. Lord, I pray you'd stir our hearts and our minds. And Father, I pray that you'd warm that one that maybe has grown cold and despondent and backslid upon you. Father, if there's one in here this morning, or tonight rather, that's lost and undone, don't know the free pardon of sin, I pray, Father, this would be the day they'd call upon your name, give their heart and their life to you, make you Lord of their life. We'll thank you for that. We'll bless you, Lord, for all that's accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua has now become, in our text, Moses' successor. We find that Joshua, we know that Joshua, he was born a slave in Egypt. He was 40 years old at the time of the Exodus, and now he's become a great general for God's children. We know that Joshua, as it was just sung about, was a man of prayer. He was a man of courage. He was a man that fully relied and fully was dependent upon his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through Joshua, I believe God, he completes the redemption of his children. You say that redemption was completed at the Red Sea. I believe that salvation is not only a redemption from hell, but salvation is redemption to heaven. And we find that Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. God uses Joshua for this purpose. The same word Joshua in the New Testament is the word Jesus. Joshua, he was a type of Christ. Not only in work, but Joshua was a type of Christ in name. And we find in our text tonight that Joshua and the children of Israel have come to the Jordan River. And it's the ark. It was not Moses' rod, but it was the ark of God that goes before them and parts the great river of Jordan. We find this ark, it's being carried by priests, and it is the waters begin to part. And we find that God's children, the Bible says in verse 1, they all cross. They all go over on dry land. So often we hear that the Jordan River is referred to as death. It was referred to as crossing death's chilly waters. But I believe in reality, crossing Jordan has everything to do with victorious living. We find that the Jordan River is a type, or it's typical of Jesus Christ's death. We know that Christ, He goes, or the ark, it goes before the people, just as Jesus Christ, He goes before you and I in death. But not only that, He goes with us through life. In chapter number 4, we find that the Jordan River, it's been parted. The waters are divided. They cross over. All the peoples crossed over. And God tells Joshua in our text to get 12 men. Those represents those 12 tribes. And get one man out of each tribe. And they are to get 12 stones. They were to get 12 stones where the feast stood firmly in the Jordan River. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "Then shall ye let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." The Bible says that Joshua, he pitched in Gilgal. They come to a place of lodging. They come to a place of rest. And he pitches these rocks, these stones in Gilgal. And the word pitch, it means to arise. It means to lift up. Or I believe what he's telling us, that they just didn't scatter them on the ground, but he pitched these stones into a heap, into a pile that arose from the ground. And they asked Joshua, "What are these stones all about? What is this heap? What does this pitch of stones mean?" And Joshua tells the people, he tells them that when your children ask, "What meaneth these stones?" tell them that it's a memorial for what God has done for you and I. Several years ago, me and my wife had just started coming to Fletcher First Baptist Church, and we were over at our pastor's house. I believe it was for a youth gathering. We were there, and we were gathering with some youth, and there on our pastor's mantle, on his fireplace hearth, there sit a rock. And I was looking at that rock, and it was out of place. This stone, it was not in the natural habitat. This stone was not where it should be. And I asked our pastor, "What is this rock? What does this stone mean?" And he began to tell me, as he alluded to this morning, that when he was in the hospital for 35 days, flat on his back, in pain and agony, that God came to him. And God spoke with him. And God encouraged him. And God helped him. And God talked to him. And God communed with him. And God showed him some things for the time to come. And he said that the Lord told him to gather this stone and to place it there on the hearth and let this stone be a memorial for what God has done for him in the past. The God's children, they've crossed the Jordan River. They've come to Gilgal. They take these stones, they put them in a heap, they put them in a pile. This pile has arisen above the ground. And he says, when your children ask, "What means these stones?" tell them it's for a memorial. Verse number 21, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. It's a thankfulness for what God's done in the past and what God's brought them from. And I want to preach just for a few minutes on the thought, what means these stones? What means these stones? I can see Joshua in years to come as those children would come to them and they would see this memorial. They would see this heap of stones in Gilgal and they would ask Joshua and all the fathers and all the mothers of the land, "What means these stones?" I believe they'd begin to say, number one, that God still answers prayers. You see, there rose up a king that knew not Joseph. This king, he knew not God. This king, he knew nothing about the peace of God, the salvation of God, the mercy of God. For 400 years, God's children were in bondage. For 400 years they were slaves. They were afflicted by the taskmasters. There were nowhere for them to go. There was nothing for them to do. I can see them telling their children, all we knew to do was to pray. We prayed and we prayed. We prayed in the morning. We prayed in the evening. And we prayed at night. And they begin even to take our babies and rip them from their mothers and throw them into this great Nile River. It was a terrible time, a terrible situation, a terrible thing. We were afflicted and abused. But God, who is rich in mercy, came and He heard our prayer. He seen our affliction. He saw our sorrows and He answered our prayers. I believe these stones represent that God still answers prayers. Moses came. Your God, this God of Abraham, this God of Isaac, and this God of Jacob came and said, I'm going to deliver you, that your prayers have not gone unheard. Your prayers are not in vain. And I'm glad, even in 2019, that God still answers prayers. You may be here tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved in the house of God, you ought to lift your hands. You ought to lift your voice. You ought to rejoice because you are an answered prayer. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody got a burden for you. Somebody took your name to a thrice holy God. And when we couldn't get out of Egypt, I'm glad that God answers prayers. Somebody prayed. Somebody had to get God. Somebody prayed and God heard and God answered. And I see that God delivered. Why would God answer their prayers? Why would He answer our prayers today? I believe He cares. I believe that God's still alive. I believe He answers prayers for His glory and for His honor. I believe these stones tonight ought to encourage us. They ought to strengthen us. They ought to incite us that we can go to a God and know that He answers prayers. Our Bible says in 1 John 14, for this is the confidence. We ought to have a confidence that you have in Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He heareth us, whatsoever we ask of Him, we know we have petitions. I believe they mean that God heard their prayers over in Egypt. God heard their prayers in the wilderness. And God was going to hear their prayers in Canaan land. When I desire, when I'm low, when I'm troubled, when I need a touch of God, I'm thankful that we can cry out to our Father which is in heaven. Psalms 34, verse 15. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. What do these stones mean, Joshua? Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, what do these stones mean? I believe, number one, that God still answers prayers. Number two, what do these stones mean? I believe that God still saves by the blood of the Lamb. We were in Egypt. We tried many things. We tried all those things that Moses had to offer. We tried those frogs. There was frogs everywhere. Frogs covered the land, but that was to no avail. We even tried the plague of lice. Lice and things were all over the land. We tried the plague of flies. That was to no avail. Great hail came and covered the land, but that did not help. The great bulls became on the people, and even darkness could not save. But there came a day that God told Moses to take a lamb, not any lamb, but a separated lamb, a male lamb, a lamb that was without spot, a lamb that was without blemish. He told him to take this lamb and to kill that lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and put it upon a hyssop and to put it over the door and on the side. And he told him in Exodus chapter 12, and the blood shall be unto you for a token upon your houses. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. These stones tonight that mean that God still saves by the blood of the Lamb. Our children ought to know. Our community ought to know. Our church members ought to know that salvation, it does not come through church membership. It does not come through being a part of a youth group. It does not come in the ordinance of baptism, and it does not come in the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. But salvation is only attained tonight through the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
You can remove the blood from our songbooks. The choir can stop singing about the blood. Preachers can stop preaching about the blood, and those new translations can take the blood out of the Bible, but you'll never be able to get the blood off of my heart and out of my soul, because God still saves by the blood of the Lamb. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest part of heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. 203 times in the Old Testament, the word blood is around and referred to and used as a violent death. You know, tonight, we're saved because of violent death. We're saved because of a vicarious death. We're saved because of the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. This blood, it speaks of forgiveness. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of the sins." These stones mean tonight we're saved and forgiven.
That's right. Amen.
This blood, it speaks of redemption. Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption," how? "Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace." Because of the blood tonight, you and I, we've been redeemed.
Amen.
This blood, it speaks of justification. Romans 5:9, the Bible says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come." We're justified. We've been declared righteous, just as we've never sinned, because of the blood of the Lamb. This blood, it speaks of reconciliation. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye were who sometimes afar off." There were sometimes we couldn't get to God. There were times that we couldn't attain God. But I'm thankful because of the blood, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Because of this blood, we've been brought back to God. We've been reconciled with God. We have a right relationship with God. This blood, it speaks of cleansing. John 1:7, the Bible says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This blood, it speaks of protection. In Hebrews 11:28, it says, "Through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn, should he touch them." This blood tonight, it's our shield, it's our covering, it's our protection. We're protected tonight because of the blood of Christ. This blood, it speaks of salvation. Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul."
Amen.
I'm thankful for the blood.
Right.
Brother Randy sang about the blood tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved tonight. We're justified tonight. We're redeemed tonight. We're reconciled tonight. We're cleansed tonight. We're saved tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Napoleon, he was a great French statesman and a great military leader. He dominated Europe. He swept across Europe, and he's still considered to this day one of the greatest military commanders of all time. But on June 18th, 1815, Napoleon was defeated, and his army was defeated at the Battle of Waterloo. They say that there after the battle that Napoleon gathered his generals, and there in that tent on the battlefield, there was a map of all of the continent of Europe and a map of the battlefield, and there, circled in red, covered in red, and blotted in red, he said, "Gentlemen, I would be the ruler of the known world if it wasn't for Waterloo." Begin to think, just perhaps, maybe one of these days, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, or when Satan is cast into that lake of fire with those other fallen angels, he'll gather those demons, those fallen angels, and he'll say, "Gentlemen," he'll take and his that charred finger, and he'll say, "Gentlemen, I'd be the ruler of all mankind, but this place," and he'll point to Calvary that's covered in red, that's circled in red, that's blotted out in red, said, "But because of Calvary, I have been defeated. I'm thankful that victory was won at Calvary."
That's right.
What do these stones mean? I believe they mean that God still answers prayers. What do these stones mean? I believe these stones mean that God still saves by the blood of the Lamb. What do these stones mean? I believe, number three, that God supplied all our needs. Israel is now in the promised land. They're no longer wandering in the wilderness. They have crossed the Jordan River. They were there in this place called Canaan land that God had promised Abraham. But this was not a place of rest, and it was not a place of relaxation. It was a place, not a place of a glorious vacation and easy living, but it was a place of hardship. It was going to be a place of battle, but it was going to be a place of trust. And they knew that they trusted God on the other side of the Jordan River, and they needed to trust Him now with everything they had. I find here in the Canaan land, in the promised land, those challenges were going to be greater. The giants in the promised land were going to be bigger, and the problems in the promised land were going to be multiplied. But although those challenges were bigger, and the giants were larger, and the problems were multiplied, the blessings were going to grow, and the blessings were going to be multiplied, and the blessings were going to be numerous. And I just want to say tonight, in this season of Thanksgiving, in this time of harvest, I'm thankful God supplied all my needs. I'm thankful He's blessed. I'm thankful He's protected. I'm glad He's saved. He sends the rain. He sends the sunshine, and He does it again and again. And Lord, I just want to say thank You. Thank You for Your bountiful hand, for I've been so blessed by God's bountiful hand. I'm thankful that God supplied all their needs. No doubt these Hebrew fathers and mothers told their children that God brought us through the Red Sea. We traveled for 3 days. It was hot. It was dry. It was a time of thirst, and there was no water. We came to a place called Marah. It was full of waters, but the waters were too bitter to drink. And Moses, the Bible says, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he cut and he cast into the waters. And those waters were made sweet. I'm glad tonight that God supplied a remedy. This remedy was a tree. This remedy was that we could go and drink freely from the waters of life. One day, 2,000 years ago, God supplied this remedy. He supplied a tree, a place called Calvary. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, mounted that tree. And because of this tree, the evils of life are made sweet tonight. We need to remember tonight, and we need to rejoice tonight, that He's not only supplied our physical needs, but He's supplied our spiritual needs. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Begin to think about Elijah this afternoon. He told that widow woman to go and gather all the empty pots. And then he told her to take that oil from one of those smaller pots and begin to fill the other vessels. She poured, and she filled, and she filled, and she poured until all those empty vessels were made full. You know, all we need tonight is we need to empty ourselves of sin, of strife, of our selfish desires. And when we become those empty vessels, I believe Jesus, just like this oil, He'll supply us with all of His glory. For 40 years, I noticed that the children of Israel, their clothes did not wear out. For 40 years, their shoes did not wear out. For 40 years, they had food and raiment. They had shelter and love. And that's what these stones mean. They mean that the God of Egypt was still going to be the God in Canaan land. They mean that the God of the Red Sea, the God that was leading into the wilderness, the God that was bringing them through those chilly waters of Jordan, was the same God today. It's the same God at Fletcher First Baptist Church. It's the same God in the valley, and He'll supply all of our needs. What do they mean? I believe they mean that God still answers prayers. I believe they mean that God still saves by the blood of the Lamb. I believe they mean that God still supplies all of our needs. I also believe that God still separates the waters of despair. You remember, they were in Egypt. They had took the gold and the silver and those treasures of this land. God was leading them through Moses. All was well. All was going well. It was a victorious time, a grateful time, and everything just seemed to be going good. But there came the day that they were faced with the waters of the Red Sea, and the enemy was behind them. Pharaoh was angry. All of his chariots and all of his army, all of his men came to destroy them, to defeat them, to steal their victory, and there was no way out. You know, when the enemy's behind us and the Red Sea's before us, I believe God will still make a way. Those waters, they parted. Those waters were rolled back, and we know that they crossed over dry ground. I believe that he's saying that God will separate those waters of despair, that when there is no way, God will make a way. You know, everyone in this church tonight is a testimony for what you could not do for yourself, but God did for you. You know, we can't explain God's miracles. Brother Joe came up here this morning, began to testify of how his brother miraculously is getting better and being healed. You can't explain God's blessings. You can't explain God's deliverance. And there's going to be times in our lives when we're up against that Red Sea and the enemies be behind us. There's going to be times when it seems too great. There's problems we can't solve. There's burdens that we can't carry. But we can rest assured, because of these stones, God will make a way when there is no way. God still separates the water of despair. And I wrote this one down as Brother Terry was singing that song. I believe these stones mean that God will secure our way home. Notice verse number 1 in our text. The Bible says, and it came to pass, here it is, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man. You know, there'll be a day, as we sang about this morning, a glad reunion day. What a meeting in the air. And all the people will be there. We don't have to worry anymore. We can rejoice. And we can look back and thank God for the stones in our life. That he still answers prayers. That he still saves by the blood of the Lamb. That he still supplies our needs. And he'll still secure our way home. And he'll separate those waters of despair. Tonight, we might just want to find ourselves around these stones and saying, thank you, God, for the promises, for what you've brought me through and what you're taking me to. Let us stand tonight. If the magicians would come. What meaneth these stones? Father, we want to thank you tonight for those past victories that you've won in our life. We want to thank you tonight, Father, for your blessings, for the answered prayer, for the needs that you've supplied, for the promises, Father, that you'll take us home to heaven one day. We want to thank you tonight, Father, that you're still saved by the blood of your Lamb. And Father, these stones tonight out of Joshua chapter 4 ought to encourage us what you've done in the past, you can still do today. And Father, we want to thank you tonight. We can call upon your name. I don't know the needs of the hour. I don't know the needs of the congregation. But I'm thankful, Father, you're still the same God that you were on the other side of the Jordan River. You're still the same God that shed his blood for all mankind. Lord, I pray that you'd help your people tonight. You know the needs of the people of the congregation. And I pray you get honor and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray.